little bit of news here that's pretty significant from the sports world.
Have you seen this news? Have you heard about this news?
Richard Deitch.
Still with the Athletic?
The Deitchmark. That's not a nickname. I'm sorry, Richard. And actually, it's from Andrew Marchand. Reading and comprehending are two different things. Richard tweeting out from Andrew Marchand that the NBA and Amazon Prime have a framework for an agreement that'll make Amazon a major player for NBA regular season and postseason games for a decade. This felt inevitable when the TNT and the Turner negotiation window expired for the NBA, the exclusive negotiation window.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you right now, I'll be honest with you, I think Amazon's pre and post does nothing for me. I think Andrew Whitworth's seems like a cool dude. Smitty makes me laugh. Not for the reason that people like to watch him, but like Smitty is a very funny, explosive character. That show does nothing for me. If you really want to succeed with the NBA, because people are going to watch the NFL no matter what. You could put Snidely Whiplash as the host of that thing with a bunch of dudes who never suited up in the NFL, and people are going to watch Amazon, Thursday Night Football, the playoff game, any of that.
Yep. I've been watching dudes.
And that's not how it's going to work with the NBA. I think you should go. I think Bezos and company should go to Shaq, Chuck, Ernie, and Kenny and go, what's the price?
What's the price? I mean, they've got the money.
You'll never top it. It is the most magic. And by the way, crappy game, you still watch it because you want to see what they say. Think about that. There's not tune in. I mean, even like most tune in now is only sports, but it's got to be a good game. Dude, there have been games that I've watched that are 30-point blowouts by halftime that I'm like, I got to see what they say about this game.
100%.
And then I've watched the second half.
I can't believe sometimes how I will stay up. If I'm watching a late game, which means it's tipping at 10-10, and then the game's over at 12-15, sometimes later, and I will stay up and watch the post-game show because they are so funny. I never watch halftime shows of football games.
Because none of them are any good.
No.
They're bland studio crap.
Yeah. Now, listen, there's some good analysis from people that you like, people. And, God, I distract myself every time I say people.
That's on me, Doug. But, no, you're making a point that
there are some good people.
Jesus!
Go, just say something.
But to me, it's the only magic show. It's the only sports programming show for pre or post that I have to be a part. And if you try, we're going to get Draymond and we're going to get, you're not going to do it. Your best hope is get those four guys. And then as one by one, as one guy retires, if Chuck retires, then put in Draymond. And then when Shaq retires, then put in somebody else. But you got to start with those four. You want immediate buy-in, Jeff Bezos? You want me to watch? Those four guys.
And those dudes get out of their contract? Non-competes are about to be gone.
Well, yeah. Well, think about it. Good point. I would imagine if TNT and Turner don't renew their coverage, if they don't end up signing any sort of contract with the NBA.
It probably helps their negotiating power, right? If they don't have the NBA, they can't work.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and Lord knows they're not going to pay him to go on March Madness.
That is the latest from the NBA. The NFL draft was electric again last night, though. And I'll be honest with you, dude. Like, I remember every Al Davis draft pick that made us go the Bill Simmons. Whoa! I remember... I remember a lot of the oh my god moments. I don't know I've ever been more shocked by the NFL draft than when the Atlanta Falcons with the 8th pick drafted Michael Penix Jr. About a month, maybe 6 weeks after giving Kirk Cousins $100 million to move from Minnesota to Atlanta. I thought it was one of the most what the hell, holy crap moments in NFL draft history.
You want me to tell you my thing about the draft?
Yes.
It stands out to me. This is kind of me nitpicking a little bit.
I'm ready for it.
You ready for it? Something that bothers me.
Give it to me again.
This is me just getting older, I think, and get off my lawn kind of mentality.
Oh. Now I need it.
You need it? Give it to you?
Give it to me.
I'm going to give it to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The wardrobe.
Oh, I'm just over it. I don't care about your stupid suits. I don't care that you put a, I don't know, some sort of artwork inside your jacket. Congratulations. It's ugly.
I'll be honest with you. You could have given me 100 guesses before the show as to who on this station would have this take, and you would be the last guess.
Listen, I'm all about nice clothes, and I like to wear nice suits and things like that. But I don't go full flash.
I'm telling you.
Never go full flash.
If you were a draft pick, you'd be doing the same thing. I mean, like, if you were top 10 pick.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, Dustin.
I'd wear a suit.
You would be suited and booted and swagged from head to toe.
I'm not going to walk out there like in some snakeskin shoes or something stupid.
So if a designer company came to you and said, hey, we'll have you wear this, we'll give you this, whatever gift you're not going to wear it?
Yeah, I'd be like, great, Hugo Boss, come here. Give me a nice suit.
Plain black suit.
I don't have to have like some
just go full Amish
cherry red suit with my face inside it.
Fanny pack.
All right, that one.
What?
He said fanny pack. I gotta say, I'm shocked. I feel like you would be the person. What don't you like about it?
I don't know, because I care more about the football than I care about your stupid suit. And here's what, it's probably more so on the network than it is the players, because they keep asking them about, it's not the red carpet at the Oscars.
I think that's what they're trying to turn it
I
into.
Know, and it's stupid.
This is like as fired up as you've been. This is as fired
since
up
the first hour
as you were about me bitching about game three. I'm not a complaint. I'm just merely pointing that out. I'll be honest with you. I am the least flashy person in the world. I dress like a hobo. So clearly, the suits don't matter to me, but I wouldn't say that it bugs me. Joining us is to talk about the NFL draft. The Browns finally picking tonight, hopefully. And also, whatever the hell happened with the Cavs last night, it is our very own beloved Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you? Cavs took the night off just like the Browns did.
I know. I wish I would have known they were taking the night off, because then we could all just focused every bit of our energy on round one of the NFL draft last night.
And yelling and screaming, what on earth were the Atlanta Falcons thinking?
Oh, so was that your favorite part of the draft?
Yes. Yes. Seeing the meltdown over that pick, because Kirk Cousins, who's coming off of surgery here, get $100 million. Apparently, he wasn't consulted on the pick. And just what an absolute meltdown it was over that. And what people don't understand is his contract really is like a two-year deal. So, based on last night's draft, he won't be playing there in year three.
Is it a hot take to say I'd prefer doubling down on the quarterback position and throwing all your assets in it? As opposed to whatever the hell the Denver Broncos are doing? Or like the Raiders, who are going to go with Aiden O'Connell for another year?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly understand what the Falcons are trying to do there. They have a guy they believe can help them win in the present while also setting themselves up for the long term. But there is... I also understand the argument that, okay, you gave Kirk Cousins $100 million. Why don't you go out there and get somebody that can help him, whether it's another offensive lineman, whether it's a skilled player, but why not do something to help the guy you just gave $100 million to instead of finding his replacement? But based on conversations that you and I have had, Nick, I'm guessing that you, unlike Arthur Blank, you were giving the Falcons general manager a standing ovation last night.
I mean, I just think it's better to double down on the quarterback spot. I'd rather that than pass. And I think too much of the NFL has been risk averse. Well, no, actually, that's not even true. What they do is they pass on quarterback till the last second. And instead of going out and get a solid quarterback, they end up, you know, going with unproven guys and just perpetuate losing, and then you get yourself into a spot where you have to take Bo Nix with a 12th pick in the draft, or you have to overdraft guys, and it's wild. There's just not really there's just very few teams who I think approach the quarterback position today and tomorrow intelligently, I think it's fear based.
Yeah, well, yeah, or it like hit the emergency button based, right? Like, oh my God, we better get a quarterback. And that's kind of what happened, in my view, last night with six quarterbacks going in the first 12 picks. But look, Michael gets to go to Atlanta now. Hopefully he gets to sit on the bench for 2 years to learn under Cousins. And then when he goes into year three, he's able to take that thing over and help the Falcons continue to do, you know, at least from their perspective, winning, right? Which is, again, why they signed Kirk Cousins. But, yeah, I mean, the quarterback situation in the NFL is very reactionary when you talk about teams addressing that position. And often the reaction is desperation. And once again, in the NFL draft last night, we saw that desperation come to the forefront.
Daryl, I have a vested interest in the Buffalo Bills. My son's obsessed with them, so that's part of the reason. And they traded out last night, and it was so.
You're a little displeased, aren't you, Dustin?
A little bit, and they gave the Chiefs the stinking fastest receiver ever. But anyway, neither here nor there. Are the Browns going to do something like that tonight? I mean, what do you think? Trade up, trade down. If they don't take a pick, they're at 54.
Yeah, I don't think they have the ammunition to trade up, Dustin, and they certainly don't want to dip into next year's draft where they have their first, their second, their third, and their fourth round pick, as well as their natural sixth round pick. I can't see them, because it's been 3 years where they've had a complete draft, I can't see them dipping into assets next year. So I don't know that they have the ammunition to move up from 54, because they need to keep both picks tonight. They need to pick two players tonight, because I think that just gives them the best odds at finding two guys that not so much can contribute today, but, you know, are going to be good, sound players for the Browns the long term. There's just not a lot of value when you have, you know, picks 206, 227, and 243 to round out your class. So I think what Andrew Berry will do is what we've seen him do the last couple years. I don't know that he trades completely out of the second round, but it would not surprise me if he slid down some spots in the second round as a means to pick up some additional draft compensation that he can spend this weekend.
Now, I know you're on record, Daryl, is saying no to a Greg Newsom trade, but yes. Let's play the hypothetical.
That is a no. I do not want them to trade Greg Newsom because I think it creates a problem that they currently do not have. And when you're trying to win now, I'm not a believer in creating problems on your roster. You control him this year. You can control him next year by picking up that fifth-year option, and I think that's what the Browns should do. But we'll see if Andrew Berry follows my lead.
That was just a lead into an actual question. I didn't even – you're just very on this Greg Newsom thing. So let me ask you. I know you're anti-trading Greg Newsom, but let's say – they get an offer in the first 12 picks of this second round for Greg Newsom, and they take it. Is there a player who would make that trade feel worth it for you? Currently on the board, I should say.
What are the Browns getting? Is it Greg Newsom plus 54 to move up? Is it Greg Newsom plus throwing in a later draft pick to move up? Like, what's the compensation here that the Browns are getting in return?
It's Greg for the, and I'm gonna call it 38th pick straight up.
Okay. The value is hard to argue with. That would be a good job by Andrew Berry from that standpoint. I wouldn't personally like it, but it would be hard for me to sit here and say that would be a horrible decision or a horrible outcome, because, you know, in that range, 38th overall pick for Greg, I think that's fair compensation.
Is there a player on the board, like currently, and there's Johnny Newton of Illinois, the Powers kid, Powers Johnson from Oregon, a couple receivers, a couple linebackers. Is there a name that would be a perfect fit in this hypothetical trade?
Well, I was thinking Johnson, you know, coming to mind right off the top of my head.
Flip that.
I think that their top needs are, I'd like them to get a defensive tackle, I think that they need another linebacker. I get why everyone's so hot and bothered by the wide receiver at 54 or in the second round. You know, because Elijah and Amari, their contracts are up after this year. Jerry Jeudy's the guy that's under contract. I mean, and Andrew Berry's not shy about investing in that position. Their top three wide receivers were traded for in recent years. He's drafted David Bell. I don't know where that is going as far as his development goes. I think that there's some significant questions there. Cedric Tillman, they drafted him last year. So Berry has been very aggressive in attacking that wide receiver group. And so it would not surprise me if Berry went that route with the second round pick. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of the national pundits and analysts really leaning toward the Browns, whether it's in your scenario, Nick, where the Browns, you know, okay, they make a trade to move up and get better position, or they stand pat, or even if they bump back a couple of spots, pick up some extra picks. Just everyone seems to be all in on the Browns taking a receiver here in the second round of the draft.
Daryl, last segment, I let Nick know that I've got a little pet peeve with the NFL draft. And I'm curious your take, because you are an old man like myself who tells people to get off their lawn.
Way to editorialize it there, friend.
I did, yeah.
And you know what? I'm not the least bit hurt or insulted by that, Dustin.
I know. You're a little older than me, I'm just saying. But anyway.
Man, way to curry favor in this debate here.
Daryl loves me. I love Daryl.
He's the third person today, Nick, to call me old, by the way. I just want to point that out. I had someone point out to me today, I have gray hairs.
Wow, gray hairs, huh?
Yeah, finally.
I got a little gray in my beard. Back to the question, Daryl. So I've
Fire
got
away.
A beef with too much coverage of the wardrobes that these players are wearing.
Oh, that's not even the least of my beefs with draft coverage, but yeah.
Thoughts? What do we think about this suit?
Yeah, I'm not anyone that should be commenting on anyone's wardrobe. I'm as simplistic as they come. I'm the jeans and button-down shirt or sweater or pullover or hoodie type of guy. So
way to ride the fence, Daryl.
No, I'm not a guy that you know is anyone worthy of criticizing somebody else's wardrobe.
But, no,
you have an opinion on everything. You have an opinion on everything.
Give us a take, Daryl.
Yeah, fire one down the middle.
They started draft coverage 3 months ago. They got a lot of airtime to fill, so they might as well fill some on whatever suit that they've gotten or whatever.
That was about as good as Tristan McKenzie's fastball the last month.
Wow. Well, I don't have any torn tendons I'm working through that I know of.
Daryl.
I'm very indifferent on fashion coverage, but that's
on a day that you're bitching about the Cavs, Nick, you're gonna give Tristan a stray, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I just did.
And the guy's playing hurt too, Dustin. He's playing through a tear in his arm, and Nick's throwing strays.
Yeah, same with Donovan Mitchell. Nick wants him out of here.
I guess we just settled
for
mediocrity.
You know what?
If
things
here.
Keep going that way for the Cavaliers, Nick may get his wish. Donovan may not be long.
Yeah, he wants him out of here.
All right, Slippery Wizard. Daryl, be good, buddy. Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, D. Happy weekend.
Happy draft weekend.
Happy draft night.
At least the Browns will do something tonight.
Daryl Ryder there.